Welcome to another episode of the Rose and Brass Lookers Podcast. I'm your boy, Zach Davis.
All right, just so keep it your bottle, dog. We back at it.
Man, back at it. Back like we never left. You know, sorry to leave you guys, but, you know, life got in the way for both of us, man. Life got in the way of both of us.
Man, you ain't lying, man. It's good to see and it's good to be seen in this spot, man. But I definitely appreciate, you know, the listeners, you know, riding with us and getting caught up on those old episodes. And, you know, the game don't change, man.
And we've definitely been getting some influx. We've been seeing you guys. It started popping up that, you know, people going back listening to the old episodes. So we definitely appreciate you guys rocking with us and, you know, sticking with us. And we're just trying to come back and give you guys some, you know, good games, some news you can use, as they say.
That's right.
What's been going on with you, brother? Let's tell the fans what's been going on.
Man, we down here in North Charleston, man, putting it down, man. So if anybody who follows us on our social media, you see the influx of activity that we have, you know. So we closed the gallery, the physical gallery. Over the last 2 years, we've been on Rivers Avenue and Rivers Avenue Remount over there by the Ford dealership. But now we're moving into phase three, which is to buy a space, build it out, and really get busy. You know what I mean? So we have a series of pop-up events going on. We're launching the art fair, the global art fair. This, May the 3rd. And we'll release the location. It's going to be in North Charleston. It's going to be a beautiful venue. You know what I'm saying? So we're doing like a soft launch this May. And then we're doing the actual hard rollout in October and everything. So, man, we've just been, you know, putting North Charleston where it needs to be, you know, with the old Keep of the Mayor campaign. That's a real thing. We moved, finally got the house finished and everything. So, you know what I'm saying? We over here in Park Circle. Shout out to Park Circle. Shout out to our builders and the developing partners that we have, man. We just, bro, listen, I'm just sticking to the script, man. And
that's all we can do, man. That's all we can do. But that's real good. You guys, you know, we talked about it before, his move and all he's been able to do in the small amount of time he's been down there in Charleston, man. So it's and North Charleston, should I say. But, you know, yeah. I know the city glad to have you back, man.
Yeah, man, it's different. You know what I'm saying? It's different. You know how when we were new listeners, y'all may not be aware, but Zach and I grew up together down here on this side. And, man, it's different being back at the house and, like, taking our grown man or my grown man skill set into my old community that just doesn't have it, didn't have it. And, man, it just hits different, man. So you know, I'm standing out them streets and just working my hand, man.
Yeah. And it's been cool to see, you know, some of our old schoolmates and stuff supporting your movement. You know what I mean? That's always dope. You come home and, you know, people definitely been following your movement and showing up at your events and things like that. So that's real cool. Dope to see, man. I really enjoy seeing that.
Word.
So man, I was displaced, as they say. So last year, you know, I currently live in Atlanta. That's where Keeper used to live, but he's down in Charleston now. And we had a big freeze before Christmas, before last, and froze and busted a pipe and flooded my house pretty bad, pretty much all the floors in my house and stuff. So they, you know, we didn't know it was going to take so long, but I basically moved out last January 15th and then get back into this November, like right the week before Thanksgiving, probably like November 15th or 18th or something like that. But we were displaced, man, living out of Airbnbs, you know what I mean? And dealing with contractors, probably 30 more days. It was like that goalpost kept moving. And I mean, it was a nightmare. It was and it wasn't. I mean, our insurance, they definitely took care of us. So I tell people, man, make sure you got good insurance. That's one thing. That's number one. And so what kept happening was the Airbnbs, we would have to move because I could only book it out so far because the insurance would only let me do it. And then, you know, the Airbnb people, you can't be mad at them. They got to get their money. So, you know, they would, you know, you look up and I try to extend the stay and it'd be booked up. And it's like, hey, they not going to cancel those people. But we did have a couple people that worked with us. They did. One of the houses we stayed in, they moved a family into another Airbnb that they had. So one time we didn't have to move, but man, I was moving back and forth. I probably moved. It wasn't a lot of stuff, but, you know, you don't know how much stuff you accumulate, you know, and use and clothes and things like that. I have to move it, you know, probably like every 60, 90 days, man. I did it probably four or five times, man. It was a lot. But, you know, we're glad to be back at home, you know, still putting the place back together, still getting some work done. So but it's definitely been that, man. But I'm just excited to be back, man. You know, I think we both discussed this. It's kind of therapeutic to get on here and You know what I mean? And, you know, just chop it up, man, you know, and get things off our chest and, you know, stuff we see and, you know, that me, Okiba and I comment on, you know, in our private chat, but you know what I mean? We haven't stopped that, but it's good to get on here and express it. So it
definitely yeah, and I think it's definitely good, man, when we look at the influx of these relationship platforms that's rolling out, man. And when we look at, like for me, there's so few places where grown men can be grown men. And when we look at these platforms, I see a lot of people talking about relationship advice and, you know, doing a lot of things that we did during our first wave of Roses and Brass Knuckles and Candle Doll Word is Pussycat, how we had the Pussycat Book Club and everything. You know what I'm saying? Those are real deals over there.
Real deal books back here. And they coming back, man. Be on the lookout for those.
You know, but when we look at the amount of popularity centered around giving out advice around relationships, you know, I don't really see these cats and kittens being, they ain't married. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to say all of them, but I see a lot of them don't appear to be married, but they handing out this advice. And I'm wondering, like, who are y'all really talking to? You know what I'm saying? Because you're talking about bear wrestling, but you ain't never wrestled no bear.
Exactly.
Well, I ain't quite understanding how does that work in real time. You know what I'm saying? So we get
it. I just think maybe it should be, you know, just some more clarity. Like, are you giving just, you know, we're giving marriage and real relationship advice, not dating advice. I think that should be where the line kind of gets blurred, because you see people, like I said, you see these groups, they have Q&As and things like that, and you have single people giving other single people advice. You know what I mean? And would you go, you know, like we talked to before, like if you had you wanted to learn how to do something, if you got a mentor, you're not going to want a mentor that never did what you're trying to do. Like, I'm not a, you know, when I want to get into the film business, I didn't go talk to somebody that builds houses. I went and talked to somebody that does film and, you know, and television and things like that, so you could get into that space. But, you know, and I think that's where there's a lot of disconnect, and some of the advice that people are giving, I think it's leading people down a, you know, a bad road a lot of times.
Yeah. And it's definitely that when I look at like the conversations that Zach and I have probably maybe four brothers that I speak to, married brothers who raise their child or children. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my prerequisite right there. If we're going to rap about anything that I feel like sometimes we just need to get it off our chest. Somebody's off our chest. But what I've learned over these years is that it's important for me to give that energy or release that energy to another brother who's walking that flame. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, if I'm talking to any number of my single homeboys, you know what I'm saying? They answer is, oh man, I wouldn't tolerate that. Oh man, I would just leave. Oh man, dog, you wouldn't just do, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is marriage. And unless you have to leave because of a certain thing that's been, a line that's been crossed, a woman gonna work your nerve, dog. Same way a husband gonna work.
Yeah.
Like that's a part of the process, man.
It's real. And then, you know, it's so funny. So my wife and I, you know, we watch all these little shows, and I hate to give it, well, I give it props. I like the little show. It's called Love on the Spectrum. And it's like these autistic kids, and they trying to find, well, autistic adults, young adults, and they trying to find love. And so it's so funny that one girl, she's autistic, but mentally she's probably about 12, 13 maybe. And she got another little autistic boy. Now they've been dating this, and they went on a trip, and she wanted to see lions. So they went to Africa, and she kept asking the driver, what about the lions? And even the autistic boy was like, be patient, calm down. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't matter. In a relationship, your nerves are going to get worked. You know what I'm saying? Deal with something. And so that dude, I don't know, you know, what he knows and what he doesn't know, but he knew enough to say, hey, you need to calm down and be quiet. You working that man nerves. Like, quit having about the goddamn lines. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, and I think a lot of these gurus, quote unquote gurus and stuff that give relationship advice that aren't married, they're giving it out, and they don't understand the compromise that comes with marriage. Like, you have to, it's a Libra scale, as they say. It's a balance. You gotta, you know, you gotta know when to bring the brass knuckles, and you gotta know when to bring on the roses. Like, I mean, that's just, that is what it is. Like, and so I think a lot of them don't understand that. So they're giving advice, like you said, from the standpoint of a single person, like, don't take this, you shouldn't put up with that, or that, you know, that's one of my, you know, that's a definite no for me on my check, you know, checking the box. Nobody's perfect. You know what I mean? I'm not perfect, and my wife's not perfect. She'll probably say she's perfect. But anyway, but then you know what I'm saying? Nobody's perfect. You know what I mean? So all of us are going to have little things that you're going to have to love the other things more than that little, you know, lack of perfection. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's one of them things where, you know, like throughout the course of my marriage, you know, I had to establish what I can tolerate, what I will not tolerate. And some things, you know, you just got to get numb to. You know what I'm saying? So some of them numb to things, it's just like, that's just her personality. You know what I'm saying? But what I've learned throughout this course of, you know, this marriage and this union and this life is that I got a way, like, okay, I look at everything like sports. You know how we always talk about it. And I'll be like, okay, can I win a ring with her?
Yes, exactly.
Can I win a ring? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And can I win multiple rings? Can she be my Tom Brady?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And when I look at that, can I get 7 rings? Yes. But what I've come to, especially being an entrepreneur and a creative in a creative space, is that I didn't marry her to be my business partner. I married her to be my wife. However, my wife steps in areas to do certain things as I get the business pieces together. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to fade her off. Because I tell her all the time, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to fade you up out of here. Well, all I got to do is just show
you. It's going to get you out of the business.
Yeah. Because it's just like, I know the parts and pieces that she does well at, but I also know the parts and pieces that that's not her thing. Because that ain't her thing. I ain't married her for that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But when I look at and this is just giving, you know, our listeners some game and some insight on. Ooh. Oh, shoot. Hello? Shit.
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Oh, that was so. I'll cut this out. Yeah. Hey, baby, I'm on a Zoom. You okay? Hello?
See, this is what we talk about. I don't even want to cut that out. This real-time fatherhood you seen right here.
Yeah. Hey, baby. You got it? Is it okay?
I just did that's advice. Oh.
Okay, I'll call you right back as soon as I'm finished. All right, okay.
All right. This real time fatherhood. So this is what we want to say. We're not gonna cut it. We not gonna edit it. None of that. That's real time. When your children call, you got to pick up that phone.
Yeah. Especially when they're out of state.
They're out of state. What? I don't miss any of them. If she calling, whatever I'm doing, I got to see. Hey, what's going on? You all right? You said, I'm at least see what's going on. You straight? Yeah. Then.
And then we roll from there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Said this real time. So when looking at like some of our followers and listeners and understanding that I had to pick, and the same thing with my wife, you know what I'm saying? Like, we had to pick the things that are the most important that we can consistently get done, and I can consistently trust you with this.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And the other parts and pieces, it's always going to be some shake of the game somewhere. You know what I'm saying? That's just the nature of what it is, but I think if you establish what that is on the front end, then it helps you to set your expectations in the right space. You know what I'm saying? Like if you look at how do I put myself in a space where I can be emotionally safe? And something she may not register and be like, oh, I'm not, you know, she ain't think, but I'm just like, man, that hurt me in a certain way. But then I have to recalibrate myself and be like, okay, I don't need to put that kind of emotional weight on her. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's some real things to learn as you go down the road. Because some folks be like, oh, my wife is supposed to. No, she not. You know what I'm saying? Like, that ain't her makeup. And if y'all ain't constantly coaching and working, then no, she not. You know what I'm saying? There's accountability, but I don't think you should put accountability on somebody without expressing what it is.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't put your expectations on somebody. And I think in a lot of times in relationships, that's what happens. Like, it's natural for us to expect, you know, what we would do or how we would react out of other people, and it doesn't work like that. Especially in a relationship, you're gonna have constant conflict when you think like that. Like, you have to realize this person, they grew up in the same house as you. They, you know, you try to align your values and things like that as best you can. But, you know, as we've expressed before on past podcast, there's a difference in a, you know, and a man that maybe grew up and didn't have men around. There's a difference in a woman who grew up and didn't have men around. There's a difference in a woman who grew up that didn't have a woman around. There's a difference in a man who grew up that didn't have a woman around. Like, and if you don't kind of see relationships and how they form, or see, you know, a husband, a real love, like, you know what I'm saying? And things like that. Like, you know, just like we talked about, Okiba lost his father very young, but he was able to go around people that where there was marriages and unions and see a family, you know what I'm saying? A husband and wife operating. He got old enough to, you know, kind of realize what was going on. You know what I'm saying? When you got into your teen years, your formative year. So, and the same thing for me, my stepfather came in and I was able to see, you know, a husband and wife reaction and, you know, how, you know, my dad, he kind of stayed even keel a lot of times. Like, you know what I mean? But when he needed to speak up now, all right now, you know what I'm saying? Like you know, even as he's slowing down in old age, sometimes he still got to give him a holler. All right now.
Real.
Sometimes, man, I call him up. It's so funny, man. I call him up. She'll be talking about him. And I don't realize he's sitting right there. He's like, I'm sitting right here. And I'm like, you been going in on him for 30 minutes. You know, so I mess with them all the time. I'm like, man, leave that man alone.
Damn. And that's real, man. And it's just like, it's like part of my goal is through like our podcast and our content and what we're doing is to help normalize Black men being able to speak about what we go through. Speak about the challenges of marriage. Speak about, you know, just be in a safe space while at the same time, the same with it, because this thing hard, man. Like, we're expected to not feel anything. Like, if you express it, or you in your feelings. But yeah. Then, I'm the kind of person where you don't want me to get to my extreme, because I either operate here.
That's the why the same way.
You know,
yeah. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Get right down here, because once it go here, it's hard to break it down. I can't break it down. That's my problem.
Yeah, like, I don't operate in that space. And Zach and I, you know what I'm saying, we share, our birthday is a day apart. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the 10th of March. Zach is on the 11th of March. And maybe it's just our Pisces thing. Maybe it's just, you know, it's just, but like, I don't do the gray in between. You know what I'm saying? I don't do that either. I care, or I'm going to turn the lights off on you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we live in a space where it's so not cool to be in a space where I can say, man, bro, I'm going through X, Y, Z, or tell my old lady, tell my mom. You know what I'm saying? Like, or even outwardly, we live in a space where it's not cool. But I've learned that in order to manage my mental health, I'm all the way transparent all the time. And that can rub people the wrong way, but I'm like, nah,
I'm over that. You have to be. And then, I mean, you should be able to be, you know, I saw Shaq speaking on, I think it's his podcast, and he was saying, you know, you can't be vulnerable in front of a woman because she may throw it back in your face. And again, Shaq, you know, he was married. I can't speak on what kind of husband he was. I think they had a lot of stuff going on, sounds like. But I think if you can't be somewhat vulnerable to your wife, then it's never going to work. Like, it's some stuff you got to be able to say, like, you're going through it now. Now, she hits you below the belt and comes back. Now, most of the time, you probably did something for her to throw something bad in your face. Now, let's be honest. She didn't just come out of the room work and bring it back up. Boy, that's why your mama never loved you. You know, she didn't come with that. Yeah, she didn't come with that when you did something to her that, you know, prompted her to say that. So, you know, I think that we have to find safe spaces. And me and she talk here. It's real. Like, I mean, like I said, Shaq said that, but you're not saying, what did you do to get this woman to pull something back out of the bag that was bad enough to hurt your feelings? You know what I'm saying? You hurt this woman. You know what I'm saying? Well, if some woman didn't call the house, how much you sleeping with her, you just left her house, she might be in that bag. Now, I mean, that's.
And then that's real. That's one of them things where it's just like, with the death of my dad, what I learned was, you take care of your relationships during the soft times before the hard times show up. So during the soft time, that's when the money right. That's when you're looking good, smelling good. You get a haircut every 2-3 days, or you know what I'm saying? The car clean, the D's and Vogue shining, whatever that situation is. But then when cancer came through, you know what I'm saying? And my dad was like the pillar for his family, and not just in the household, but my aunts and uncles, and then, you know what I'm saying, that whole part and piece. And then people, like, they scattered, like, you know what I'm saying, like, turn the lights on, and they go, you know what I'm saying? So as a kid, the way I processed that, I was just like, man, I need to take care of my relationships when I have them. That's why I give all that I have to give when I'm in it, because when I'm not in it, I'm gone. But I'm going to tell you everything you need to know in order to manage. So I'm not going to put these false expectations on you without giving you a handbook and say, look, this is how I work. Don't ever be in a position where I don't care. Because I promise you, once I don't care, you assed out. You can be dead on the street and I step right over.
Yeah.
And just understanding that. So, like, with a Shaq and, you know, unfortunately, like, in those public settings and public relationships, because that's something I'm having to adjust to here in Charleston where, you know what I'm saying, like this public figure image. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all public I have to say this part. Is that we are all public images, public personalities.
Yes.
When you go outside, we all public. You know what I'm saying? But in my adjusting to people's perception and, you know, whatever they see, I have to be mindful of how folks have set you up for a certain thing, about chasing whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be aware of what that is. And even with my wife, I have to protect her from aspects of that. Because it's just like, nah, man, some people want to get next to you so they can play a certain game or try and get in your ear so you can get in my ear without them understanding that my wife don't dictate what I do.
Yeah.
And that's where they fall short.
Yeah.
Saying so. Cool, Shaq. Yeah, brother.
But I think we both kind of talked about that, about, you know, allowing ourselves and, you know, other, especially Black men, you know, all men, but, you know, we're Black men, so we're going to speak on that. But it's, you know, I don't think we're ever even conditioned to show our emotions. Like, you know what I mean? All my life it's been hit up, ain't nothing wrong with you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how it is. Like, I mean, even when it was just me and my mom, when she was raising a boy, so she raised me she get mad when I said, but with an iron fist. Like, she ruled with an iron fist, you know what I'm saying? And so it was, yeah, you feel, but yeah, your head bleeding, but I told you, quit jumping off that thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't a, you know, never really like a coddling, you know what I'm saying? So as boys, and then as we go out into the world, especially Black boys, we usually have to have a tough exterior. Like, I mean, you know, nothing is compared to jail, but people have to understand in a lot of situations as a Black man, like, you know, you the weakest, you preyed upon. You know what I mean? So you have to have that tough exterior and things like that. And so when you see a Black man and you see him and his face is scrunched up and things like that, it's because that's how he's been conditioned all these years. That's kind of how he has to carry himself. So I think a lot of us, you know, and that don't even understand, you know what I mean, how to, you know, express ourselves or, you know, be emotionally vulnerable, you know, to our woman or whatever it is that we going through this and we looking for a safe space. And you hear that from a lot of men, like, they'll go over to another woman and that woman just seems to listen to them a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? It's not even necessarily sexual. They get into these relationships where they, you know, not really, you know, emotionally cheating, as they call it, like texting and talking to another woman because she's listening to them. And you're not really listening to them, you know, what he got going on at work, or he got dreams to do this and do that. And you like, get your ass back in that truck and drive. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And when you look at that part, I think like, and this is going to be for the women who have solid men, solid husbands, you know what I'm saying? And the reason why I changed it from men to husbands is that there are levels to this whole manhood thing. You know what I'm saying? So you got boyfriend, you got, that's my man, that's my husband. You know what I'm saying? That level. So if you have a solid husband, please understand, step outside of yourself and understand that the level of impossible that he has to consistently make possible in order to be your husband, in order to be the father, in order to be the daddy. I'm gonna be honest with y'all. It's easier to not be the husband and the father and just pay child support and get you up out of his face than it is to have you in his face 24/7, 365, giving all that he can give in order to raise them kids. Because for every minute that he invests in his child, he's losing an hour off his back. That's how that works in real time. And unfortunately, a lot of our women don't hear that message from other women, like women they respect. So they be out here thinking, oh, all you got to do is be here at 6 o'clock. All you got to do, man, we have to figure out how to not kill others. We had to figure out how to not be killed by others. We had to figure out how to make money, be a porn star, be Builder Bob, be an auto mechanic, be an accountant, be a chef. We got like 12 different jobs in order to
athletic trainer.
You know what I'm saying? Like that. Nobody say that. Nobody. That gospel is never spoken in any platforms that I've ever heard. And say, yeah, in order for this good husband who's working day to day to be a solid husband, this brother has to be 12 different people. While at the same time, your wife that's in place, she has a majority of homegirls and mamas and this and the third who don't have a good husband. So now you got to not only be her husband, you got to be connected to all these other women who don't have that. So their realities are warped. So they pass that dysfunction over to your wife, who's emotionally connected to them. And that's the whole thing. Like your in-laws are your outlaws, man.
Yeah. No, that's not true. Well, that's the truth. As well as being a counselor, things like that, you know, we got to be the ear, the sounding board, you know what I mean? We got to listen to, you know, when you have problems at work, you got problems with your girlfriends, you know, usually some drama, you know, unfortunately, ladies, I hate to say it happens with me and we just fall out and don't speak but anymore. Right. But, you know, they go in with this one, gossiping about this one, like, you know what's going on. So it's like, it becomes a lot. And I think, like you said, it's not talked about enough. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not talked about enough. And like you said, it's levels to this. There are men that are married and then their husbands. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, that's a classic right there.
It's men that's married and it's men that's men that are husband. And you, right. Even in that whole thing, you have to watch those dynamics of who you associate yourself with, who you're around. You know, we've talked about that in the past. And, you know, and like we said, you know, your single friends, you know, you still got single friends that you got to manage that you can't even, you know, like you said, you can't express yourself to. And that's why I tell you, you got to have some married men around you if you marry, because you're going to have to, there's going to come a time where you feel like you may can't take it anymore. This is going on, or that's going on, or, you know, or maybe she's ready to leave and you're trying to figure out how to save it. And, you know, if you go to your single friend, man, get that guy there, boy, man, don't worry about that, man. Shit. That's not the answer. And, you know, just like you said, and being a father, that's the same thing with hanging around men who don't take care of their kids. They don't think that's an important situation. Like, I'm going to tell a guy if he has children, like, man, watch out, because what you do in the street, you, the next thing we know, now you break up and somebody else raising your kids. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the whole future thing. In the future, the Russell playing football with your kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody else stepping in and, you know, is that guy going to be good to your kids? You know, are you ready to get into combat with him, because the whole family gonna turn against you at some point. When those situations happen, a lot of times, if you're not that good of a father, you know, I just seen a video where the dad tried to show up at the kid's birthday party and couldn't get in. You know what I mean? Because it was a baby mama situation, but like the other guy was like, nah, you know, I'm raising him. This mom, we putting on this party. You know, like, and it's like, man, I'm the father. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. But it is that kind of thing where, like, when you look at it, like, I've been in a position like that, you know what I'm saying, where I was going above, this was before I got married, I was dating a sister who had a daughter, you know what I'm saying? And my thing is, like, if I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing as your father figure and your, because I got two, you know what I'm saying? So if I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do with my two, then now I have three, you know what I'm saying? So if the daddy, the biological daddy, ain't doing what you're supposed to do in the physical space, emotional space, financial space, you don't get to just jump into my reality.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And say, hey, I'm going to jump into your reality that you're financing, that you're curating, that you're managing, all because I'm the biological daddy. No, pimp, you got to go ahead and go do this thing. But it's one of those things where, ladies, I'm going to tell y'all this part, where if you have a dude who's standing up to be a father for real, for your child and whoever that dude is, you know what I'm saying? Don't play the two against each other, because as men, somebody gonna end up dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody gonna end up dead, somebody gonna end up in jail with some legal bills and some legal charges, all because you playing the game trying to get back at your baby daddy or your ex. Don't play that game, because as grown men, I don't play fight. I don't play argue. I don't do nothing. I keep my thing even But once we get there, we there. And I'm not checking in with my old lady, or I ain't checking in with nobody. Because the second your baby daddy crosses a certain line, then I'm going to get him right, because he's not going to manage my household.
Yeah,
that's not what this is going to be. So if you need to play that game, ladies, go on back over there to him and leave that real man alone. Leave him alone. You're still on that little girl stuff. Leave him alone. Just go on about your business.
Yeah. And then you can't expect, you know, and what I don't like in a lot of those situations is if the general is stepping up, if he's stepping up, you can't want him to step up sometime, but then on this situation, he can't say nothing to the kid, or he can't this from the kid, but you want him to step up and do this, or, hey, you know, and do that. He on this man insurance and this man doing this. And I mean, you know, even if the dad is paying child support, nothing compares to somebody being in the house 24/7. Brothers, I hear this child support thing, and I mean, I know some stuff is astronomical. But look, when a child is there, believe me, believe O'Keefe, we raise children. When a child is there 24 hours a day and 24/7, there's bills. Like, you know, I was telling my nephew, I was flicking on the light. I said, man, your mama paying bills every time you flip this switch. Like, you don't win against script. Like, you know, you got to respect that. But anyway, back to what I was saying is, you can't want them to step up part of the time. If he's, you know, they call him stepdaddies, but if he's stepping up to be a father and he's raising your kid and doing this and doing that, when it comes time that he needs to discipline the child, that needs to be able to happen. If he needs to say something to the house, and, you know, if the child's saying to something to you about that stepdaddy, you need to correct it. Or each step on the same thing, you need to correct that child. You know, and I see a lot of times where that doesn't happen. They're leaning, that's my child, and they got the whole secret with their child and stuff like that. But this man's stepping up, doing everything that the baby daddy wouldn't, you know, and a lot of times, or, you know, especially even if he's married, you would have done all these things. Like, I mean, he's went further than what that other man wanted to do. So,
right.
You know what I mean? You got to respect that.
Yeah. And with that level of respect, it's like it takes a level of maturity for a woman to understand that if you choose this man to be your husband and he's actually doing what he's supposed to do, then you have to be willing to shift gears and be his wife. All of them games, you know what I'm saying? It's something that unfortunately not in our culture so often, where we hear, oh, men ain't this, men ain't that, men ain't, y'all stay pregnant. So if men ain't this and men ain't that, and you know that going into it, y'all stay having babies by these dudes who ain't worth a doggone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, the crazy part is that the guys that you see, the everyday working man doing this, a lot of them only have maybe 1, 2 kids, 3 kids, maybe. Usually, maybe got the same woman that's neither here nor there. But then you'll see, you know, the guy who really ain't nothing, he got 8 kids. How he's tricked so many women, you know what I mean? And then half of you guys will know that, and you know, we've talked about that before. You will see that this guy got all these kids that he halfway take care of, and you will still have another baby by him, and hoping you're gonna be the one where he gonna stay around and do all the stuff he's supposed to do. But like, come on, you had all these examples. And for the most part, you know, I really look around it. Are there a lot of guys that, you know, what they call them, F-boys or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, are there a lot of guys that don't step up and do something? Are there some guys, I should say? Right. But for the most part, most guys want to be in their kids' lives. Most of us are not running away. It's some kind of, you know, tension between them and the baby mama, or, you know, the outlaws, as you say, the grandmama of his child is in the mama's ear telling them, let her see the kid, and they using the kid as a pawn and all this stuff that, you know, try to make his life hard, or if he's moved on, and you know, whatever, you don't like he's got another woman and he's doing this, and you trying to make stuff so hard. And as we've seen, you know, a single parent household doesn't produce the best kids. I can't say all of them don't, because it was just one of them for a long time, so I'll never say that. But you know, by the numbers, that this is what goes on. Most of the people in jail came from single parent household. Most of the women that are going through a lot came from single parent household. So that just is what it is. So even if they're not in the household, you need that connection. That connection needs to be there.
Right. And I think it's like, if we led with, because when you're in it, and this is a conversation that my wife and I had, where, you know, she was married before me and had her son. And, I was married before her and had two daughters. And it's one of those conversations where it hurts to hear the fact that you are not skilled enough and able to raise him. You know what I'm saying? I am not skilled enough and able to raise my daughters without female influence. However, during that single parent household, we look at the stats, children who are raised by their dads from a single standpoint fare better in the than single parent women who raise their sons, daughters, what have you. Those are just the stats. That ain't personal. That's just the numbers. You know,
numbers. Yeah.
But the scoreboard is a scoreboard. Scoreboard ain't personal. You know what I'm saying? But when we don't acknowledge the system that's in place to create that environment, the system that's in place to create that environment is a system of systemic racism, yes, and the hate of black, brown, yellow culture, you know, or the fear yes, fuels into hate, and saying that their goal is to make sure that your son and your daughter is in prison and dysfunction. That's their goal. And that's their plan. That's why the music has been weaponized, the entertainment. So as we're going through it, unfortunately, I don't think we spend enough time just, if we just stopped and paused and said, okay, who's creating this environment and why? Then I can look at her in a different way. She can look at him in a different way. And that's what's not happening. We thinking, oh, this is just happening, you know, because you don't want to do better. No, that brother can't get a job because it's set up for him not to get a job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it is set up for her to get the highest job, whereas black women, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to say this, it's going to rub some of y'all the wrong way. As black women and women of color, black women and women of color join the white women's movement. You know what I'm saying? About that whole 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s window. The husband at home wasn't oppressing you. That's not what was happening. So white women, they go up and they keep their husbands. Yeah. Women of color go up and then all of a sudden you don't need no man. But your children being fed into the prison systems, man.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth. And like you said, if we all stop and take a look at the system we're in and why it works like this. And I mean, well, it's working the way it's supposed to work. I mean, you know what I mean? And we're falling in, you know, we're falling right in line with a lot of stuff in our culture, you know, and that's a conversation we could be on for 2 hours. You know what I mean? As far as, you know, we see our culture, you know, I mean, I just got to speak on it because I mean, I think it's sad to see that the worst of us is celebrated. Like the worst part of our culture, like, you know what I mean? Whether it's, you know, we don't show enough positivity compared to the negative. There's not enough balance, and you simply just don't see it in other cultures. Like, yeah, I mean, it just seems like it's marked on such a high level. You know what I mean? And again, it make us look a certain way, feel a certain way, and feel that's how we have to act. And you know, as we say in a lot of these situations, when these kids don't come up, whether it be a single parent household, like we said, with a single mother. The mother's working because she got to work to take care of the kids. The kids are getting raised by the TVs and the phones and things like that. And, you know, it's the cycle. You can't break the cycle.
Right. Right.
As you know, and that's why I would encourage everybody, if you know, if some children around you or something, to try to reach out and, you know, try to be a mentor, you know, or something, you know, like, you know, we came up, they used to have a big brother program and things like that and stuff like that. They don't really have anymore. You know, I mean, I guess, you know, with all the, you know, child molesters, not that people were doing that, but I'm saying, I think it kind of went away with that. Like somebody wanted to be around kids. I think that's why it went away. But, you know, like, you know, these were good programs back in the days, like Boy Scouts and things like that. You know, I mean, I think, you know, some stuff went bad with it, but it was you getting around people where you could kind of learn things from and see men, see other girls, you know, see women rather, should I say. And these were good programs because, I mean, we just at a point, you know, unfortunately in our culture that, you know, it the future looks bleak, I guess. You know, I guess I'm getting old. I sound like my grandma, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but when you see
last days, you living in the last days.
Yeah, but you know, there's that other part, like when you see the sexy reds and, you know what I'm saying, like, and I'm calling names so that we can have a point of reference. When we see that caliber of person, you see the Jay-Z's, and I would pair a sexy red with a Jay-Z regardless of the rebranding, you know what I'm saying, and say when we see the celebration of our demise, and that's how you make money. You know what I'm saying? Jay-Z didn't become a billionaire by bringing technology into the communities. No, he became a billionaire by doing what you do in the music industry, in the entertainment industry, which is you turn us upside down. That's just the reality of it. That's neither here nor there, but that's the truth. So when we look at that part of it, we say, okay, so how do I create a value system? You know what I'm saying? Like you're saying, celebrating the parts that's not right. How do I create a value system where I make it cool to have fine art? I make it cool to be a Black man raising his children with his wife. You know what I'm saying? Like doing pouring more into the community than the community is accustomed to having poured into it. How do we normalize that? You know what I'm saying? And that's a big part of what this podcast is. That's a big part of what the visuals and optics are. Because you said something earlier about how women tend to fall out with each other. You know what I'm saying? Where Zach and I have been homeboys since sixth grade. Sixth grade. And the difference between, I think, a lot of men and women, and that's not the point at the women, but it's just saying, like, if you're a solid dude, you're going to have lifelong friends, and you ain't got to talk to them every day. You got lifelong friends that's always going to have a balance. So women, there's so many different levels of value that having a good man, a husband in your life brings, because that's how we process. We process saying, okay, this is my wife. Well, you got to die up out of here. I got to die up out of here to get up out of here, because that's how we process it.
Yeah.
And if y'all, y'all do process these wavy, fleeting things, man, just stop and listen to what he's talking about, man. Especially if you got a good husband. You know what I'm saying? Stop and hear the brother.
And like you say, it's going to be ups and downs. It's going to be good times, bad times, like he said. When the money right and everything going good, but you know, when it get rough, you got to maintain that. If he was good then, he's good, and he's still good. You know what right. I mean? Just going through something. Now, if, you know, like Akiva said, if there's lines crossed and things like that, okay, no, we're not telling you to stay through anything or do something, but like some stuff really, you know what I mean? You got to kind of pick and choose your battles. Like, you know what I mean? Like some stuff is not as big a deal as, you know, other things. And I think that's what happens to a lot of good men that I hear as well. You know, just to put this in the lady's ear is if he, men look at the line crossing, like a lot of husbands and things like that. And so if they doing what they're supposed to do, the income right, everybody eating, everybody taking care of, the house saved, the house, you got a roof over your head, the other little stuff, he doesn't want to hear about that, because he like, he knows somebody who out there crossing line. Or doing this, and you just like, and as a man, you like, boy, how can I even take all this? It, like, do you know who I could be? Like, you know what kind of man I could be?
Right, right.
And so when you know, you coming at him with all these, you know, whatever it is, it's right. Like, yeah. It's not worth it.
It just takes I think it takes a higher level of consciousness, awareness, of your surroundings to realize you got a good husband. Come on now, like I shouldn't have to go to bed. Or he didn't go to bed in order for you to appreciate him.
Yeah. Go for the man too. Like if you got a good woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because something look good out in the streets, man, you don't know what you might get. What?
Oh. Hey, those streets mean
all in that water, every fish you pull up is something on the throwbacks.
Yeah. And when you look at it, when you catch it out there in the streets, understand that you're seeing the best, you're seeing the representation of whatever her best thing is.
Yeah, so exactly.
Whatever you got at the crib, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you got a good woman, man, don't be no dumb sitting there talking, man, I caught the eye of, you know what I'm saying, this one over here, she, man, you get that joker behind closed doors and you get them, you know what I'm saying, with the wig off, with the weave off, with the makeup off. And then they pull off a, you know, encyclopedia of bills in front of you, talk about, oh, yeah, you know, I look cute, but it costs money to look this good.
Yeah.
You know, they rehearse all of that before they buy a simp like you who let you do the
situation. Yeah, and let's not even get into where mine is at. You know what I'm saying? The mental part of it, you don't know, man, you don't know what you might be picking up. So, you know what I mean? Like, It ain't always sweet over there, so you know. For sure, ain't sweet over there, so you know you got to deal with what you got to deal with, and you know, sometimes you know you woman nagging you about something. It's something you might need to change and adjust to. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't even say nag. Like sometimes a woman that love you like your mama, as we've said in the books before, is like she's trying to help you be your best version of yourself. And so if she calls you out on something, like it might be something you need to look at and consider as well. You know what I mean? And if it's some mess, now we know. But but if it is, you know, you might need to reevaluate and look at it, man. But yeah.
So what's next, man? We will be back next week, y'all. You know,
yeah, we'll be back next week, man. We're back in the swing of things. We will get everything back going. We just want to get back into talking and introducing ourselves to the new listeners and the old listeners, just giving updates where we've been at and giving some of that same good game as we always do. We'll be back each and every Sunday. It's going to drop on Valentine's Day. This will drop on Valentine's Day. We'll be back on Sunday, so it'll be the following Sunday. So, you know what I mean? So, we appreciate you guys for listening and tuning in each and every week. Follow us on our IG, RMBK Gang. Then, RMBKGang.com is the website. Rose and Brass Letters Podcast on all social media outlets. So, you know, we appreciate you listening. Follow, subscribe everywhere you can.
Oh, yeah. We are. And you know what I'm saying? Like the best way to have it grow is to grow organically. So if you rock with us for real, go ahead and share us. If you see us on whatever platform, you know, social media platform, website, or even via text, share the content, because one of the biggest issues of why we aren't represented correctly is that we aren't shared accordingly. We share all the ratchet, this, that, and the third. Here's something that feeds your spirit. So if this is feeding your spirit, you're enjoying it, you enjoy hearing something that's reflective of what you think, how you move in real life as a grown man, share that thing, man. You know what I'm saying? Help us help you and help us grow this.
Exactly. It's like I said, if you heard something good, if you like the things we say and they made you feel some type of way, that was good news you need to hear today. It's the Rose and Brass Notes Podcast. Amen.
Man, sir, we're here.